a seat. The key issue that we're dealing with in this series is who gets to decide who you are, right? I mean, what we're saying is that God decides who we are. We are who God says we are, but there are a lot of competing claims on that area of our lives. So sometimes we feel a little bit like it's our parents who decide who we are. They placed a label on us when we were born. It's called our name, right? And that sticks with us the rest of our lives. That says something about who we are. And they probably put some other labels on us as well. And some of them are really good. And if we're honest, maybe some of them are really hard to deal with. Most of us who have been parents for very long can think of some moments when we wish we hadn't said something to our kids that probably wasn't encouraging, right? We said it in the wrong way. We said the wrong words. Whatever it is, we wish we could pull that back. And so that has its effect on us. And then our friends say things about us. Our teachers, our coaches, maybe some of those people are super encouraging and they encourage us to do things that we would never do on our own. And maybe some of those people made us feel like we were worthless as well. You know what that is. Maybe it's a boss or a spouse. We find that people put those things on us that we live with for a very long time. And we have to decide who says who I am. And we're saying in this series that ultimately it's God. Because God created us. God chose us to be the way that we are. And what does Scripture have to say about that? And that's what we're exploring. Now, there's a word that Scripture uses to describe us that I think sometimes we might want to reject because we don't feel like it fits us. But one of the words that's used throughout the New Testament to describe people who are followers of Jesus, so people like us, is the word saint. And when you hear that word, in fact, a lot of us hear that word, we go, well, that ain't me, right? In fact, we say, I'm no saint sometimes. And we mean that because when we hear the word saint, we think like that's a special class of Christians, right? Those are people who take their faith really seriously and they do something that's really sacrificial and puts them on a different level than rank and file Christians like the rest of us. But the New Testament doesn't use that language in any special way. It's not just Mother Teresa or some perfect seeming person that does something that we're not willing to do. It's used for everyday Christians like us. The word at its core means holy one. And in fact, it's the same word in Greek, whether it's an adjective, holy, or a noun, saint. Same word. So the holy ones. It means that these are people who are set apart from everything else for a purpose. But we just are not sure that that really applies to us. Because we know our sin. We know how unholy we can be. And maybe we think, you know, I don't know that I could ever be holy, but I could be holier than I am now. What does that look like? Or maybe we look in our lives and think about the way that someone has talked about us or talked to us, and they've made us feel like we are anything but holy, that we're just basically a bad person. So when the Bible talks about saints as just Christians, what are we talking about? That's what I'd like to explore for a few minutes today. And we're going to look at a couple different passages that I think help us put a picture to this and understand what this could look like in our lives. So the first one is in 1 Corinthians. Now, we spent a good time in 1 Corinthians recently, mostly around chapter 13, the middle chapters of the book. Today, I want us to turn back and look at a verse that we find in chapter 6. Now, all the way through 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with problems in the church. They are divided over a host of issues, and there's all kind of sin going on. And one of the things that Paul is saying to them is, listen, before you knew Jesus, you were all sinners. And in chapter 6, he's laying that out really clearly. In fact, he names off the sins. Like, some of you were adulterers. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were swindlers. Some of you, all these sins, that he goes on and on. And then in verse 11 of chapter 6, this is what he says. And that is what some of you were, sinners. But And last week we talked about how that word can bring about such a transition and a reversal. And that's what's going on in this verse. You guys were a bunch of sinners. In fact, you were tied up in the culture in which you live. Greco-Roman culture, very permissive, very corrupt in any number of ways, and they were part of it. They grew up in it. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, the ones who take action in that verse are not the Christians in Corinth. It is not the saints in Corinth. The actors in that verse are the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. And the action they take is to wash them, sanctify them, justify them. So what does that mean? That means that by the action of Jesus Christ on the cross, the fact that, yes, he knew we were sinners, and he took our sin and took it to the cross for us and paid the price. Because of that, and because of the fact that the Spirit is at work in us today. So it's both Jesus and the Spirit, their action in the past and the present, these things have happened. Number one, you were washed. Cleansed is what that means. Our sin was taken away from us. There's an allusion there to baptism, I think, because it's a washing of sin. So that's one thing. Second, you were sanctified. Now, guess what that word means? It means you were made holy. Same root word as saint, same root word as holy in the New Testament. Just now it's a verb. You were made holy. So holiness is not something that we achieve on our own. We are not saints because of the strength and goodness that is within us. We are saints, we are holy ones, because we were made holy by the cross and the Spirit of God at work within us. So you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. What that means is you were declared righteous. Now, it's true for every one of us. Before we followed Jesus, we were unrighteous. There was sin in our lives. We stood guilty before God. But because of Jesus, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we didn't earn it, we were declared to be righteous. And only the power of Jesus could do that. So the actors are Jesus and the Spirit, and the result in us is washed, sanctified, justified. So we're made holy by the power of God. Now it begins to make sense, right? Because we know that we are not holy on our own. We know our sin. We know how that works in our lives. We are only holy because God has made us holy. And even though we might not use the word holy to describe us, God would, because of his work in our lives. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. Peter talks about this as well. This is what we read in the first chapter of 1 Peter, beginning in verse 13. He says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." So Peter's looking forward. He's looking forward to what Christ is going to do. And he's saying that when Jesus returns, grace is going to be at work in you just like it was when he died on the cross. Verse 14, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." So Peter's saying something very similar to Paul. He's saying, listen, you lived in a world that was corrupt, because Roman culture was corrupt wherever it went. You lived just like everybody else. But what Peter is telling them is, don't conform to that any longer. Now, even for these Christians, it would be easy to fall back into those same mistakes, right? It'd be easy to be like everybody else, like the rest of your family who still worships all the gods and maybe prays to the emperor and all the things that you've always done. This is just a way of life. And Peter says, God is calling you out of that. He is setting you apart from that. That's what holy means. And he doesn't want you to conform to that same life. Next verse. "But just as he who called you is holy," God himself, "so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. What Peter is telling us is God has declared you holy. We know that from Paul. But there's a response to that change in our lives. So God has declared us holy. He's made us holy, even though we didn't do anything on our own. But now our response to that is to set ourselves apart. So we have a responsibility in this as well, to pursue the nature of God. Remember that we were made in the image of God. And so we spend our lives pursuing this God who is holy, and we become more like him in our lives. So God made us holy, but we're also pursuing this holiness. So there's two actions that are at work here. I think James talks about this as well at the end of the first chapter of the book of James. A great passage. He doesn't talk specifically about holiness, but I think when he talks about religion, he's talking about the same thing. So verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. So this is what it looks like. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Same kind of thinking as Peter saying, don't be conformed to the world. Now what I notice in James and some in Peter as well is holiness is being set apart. So we don't conform to the world. We choose not to be stained over and over again by the culture around us. So we are set apart from something, but we're also set apart to something. So it's not just abstaining from everything out in the world so we live a sober and dull life. That is not what we're talking about here. What we're saying is that we are called away from that to live a full and free life from sin. And if you think holiness is somehow boring or dull, all you got to do is look at the lives of people like Peter and Paul, right? One of them travels all over the Roman Empire, all these incredible travel stories, people that he meets, danger that he faces, arrest, shipwreck, trial before the emperor, all this is anything but dull. It's an exciting life. And Peter, same way, encountering Jesus, all these questions, then leading the church in Jerusalem, probably ends up in Rome as well. So it's not boring, it's not dull, it's not somber, and yet it is holy because God has called them to be set apart to pursue this life of service to God and service to other people. So if you take those three passages and think about what they say about being made holy, I think it's this. God makes us holy and God calls us to be holy. So there is a sense that this work is first and foremost God's work in our lives, bringing about a change. He washed us. He sanctified us. He justified us. We are made righteous, made holy because of the power of Jesus. But we are also called to pursue holiness. We're called to pursue this life that God wants for us, free from the stain of the culture around us. So we are called to something. Now, if we're going to put this to work in real life, we need to think about what that looks like. And I think there are some truths that can help us with this. The first is this. Holy doesn't mean holier than thou. And sometimes when we hear the word holy, that's what comes to mind, right? And we do not like to be around holier than thou kind of people. I mean, they are no fun to be around because they're sort of on their perch looking down at the rest of us thinking about how good it is to be better than everybody else, right? Well, holiness is not that. And in fact, if holiness becomes holier than thou, then what's at work there is arrogance. And arrogance is anything but holy. So as soon as holiness turns into arrogance, it negates itself because it's no longer holy. So holiness presents itself with humility. Holiness presents itself with service to others. In fact, I think for most of us, if we've ever been around someone that we're like, this person is in touch with God. Like, this person is the real deal. And my guess is most of us have somebody or maybe a couple people that come to mind when we have that, okay? When we think, okay, in touch with God, really, holiness is real in their life. Arrogance is not present. Those are the kind of people who are usually humble. Who, if you said, man, you're a holy person, they'd go, what are you talking about, right? Holiness is not holier than thou. Second, holy doesn't mean we can't have fun. I mean, we talked about Peter and Paul, but all we got to do is look at Jesus, right? I mean, what does Jesus get in trouble the most often for? Hanging around with sinners and going to their parties, right? Why are you doing this, Jesus? Why are you around these people? Why aren't you hanging out with the good people like us? And Jesus keeps saying, these people need me. And they know they need me. Jesus doesn't come across as 24/7 somber, serious. Jesus is hanging out with people. He's calling people to him. He's talking about kids. And this is the kind of person that you want to be around. He really is holy. In his own life, his own self, he is pure holiness, set apart for the work of God. And yet, he knew how to interact with people. He knew how to make life fun. Third, holy means we've set ourselves aside for God. God makes us holy. He sets us aside, apart, for a purpose. Not just to make us different from everybody else, not just to make us something that looks strange, okay? But he sets us aside so that we can pursue a life that is free from sin. He sets us aside that we can pursue a life that is free from guilt and opens us up to the opportunity to serve the people around us just like he did. And so this holiness that we are called to, we're given by God, we are made holy, but we also have this responsibility to respond to that holiness that we've been given. We're never going to get it completely right, are we? It's never going to be to the point that we're 100%. We don't ever sin anymore. But the good news for us is that the power of Jesus on the cross and the Spirit of God at work in our lives continually makes us holy, because over and over again we're offered the forgiveness that we will never deserve. And we're offered the power to refuse to conform to the world around us. You have been made holy, and God is calling you to holiness. Let's pray together. And we come before you knowing that so often in life we do not feel holy. And yet you have made us holy. And so, God, we pray that over and over again, you'll help us to make the choice to pursue the holiness that's at work in us because of Christ's work. And God, fill us with your Spirit so that when we make decisions, those decisions will be all about pursuing you. God, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.